Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to dominate your fantasy football league. FF Toolbox presents The Takeover with the fantasy executive, Corey Parson.
What's up, Scout Army, and welcome into The Takeover. I'm your host, Corey Parson, the fantasy executive. Of course, you can find me on Twitter at The Fantasy Exec. Getting ready to rock and roll into another edition of Scout Fantasy Presents The Takeover. A couple minutes from now, I'll be joined by my man, Matt Brandon, going to get ready to go over the big nine-game NBA slate tonight. Coming to you on March, about to close the month of March, get ready to swing into the month of April. And I do say swing into, of course. We are just a few days away from opening day in Major League Baseball. Of course, right now, you got a draft coming up this weekend. Head on over to scoutfantasy.com. Got the full draft kit going over there to get you ready for your last-minute draft prep. And, of course, in season, you'll get the premium advice that comes along with Dr. Roto and his daily blogs and videos, not to mention the fact MLB, DFS, Major League Baseball, big sport in DFS is Major League Baseball contest. A lot of big contests rolling out across numerous sites next week. So get in there and, of course, get with the Scout Army and get the best DFS MLB advice, and for the season-long listeners, too. We'll keep you rocking throughout that. Promo code EXEC3, EXEC3 is the promo code. 2 months free Scout Fantasy. Get in there and get involved right now with that baseball kit. Next week also coming up, and we'll talk more about it next week on the program. We got the Masters, Augusta National. Of course, that's a big deal in fantasy now. Who would have thought we'd be sitting here talking PGA on the Takeover podcast? But you know what? DFS Golf has caught fire, and of course, next week, DraftKings has the big millionaire maker for those of you in states that can play. As a New Yorker, I will not have no entries, but definitely going to get together next week and talk some PGA DFS as it prepare for the Masters. And of course, you can go right now into the premium forums on the site right now. Sean Childs, our guy over at Scout Fantasy, finished very good in this contest last year in this millionaire maker, so expect that cheat sheet to give you some good advice to cash in a couple of your lineups next week if you plan on throwing something in the DraftKings PGA Millionaire Maker. So that's the baseball package by Sean Childs, not to mention the great stuff going on with the Masters cheat sheet. Get you ready to get your DFS lineups together going into Augusta National in the big tournament down there for PGA DFS. Maybe somebody, a member of Scout Army, as a million-dollar winner. Be looking forward to that. Of course, looking for a couple more minutes, get Matt Brandon on, talk about tonight's big NBA slate and DFS. Really, 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 really proud of the guys. Got it rocking right now in the premium forums. The projections each and every night, Scout Fantasy dominating the NBA DFS. So get in the forums every night. Of course, always good to have some action. And what better ways to share with your homies than the Scout Army on those premium message boards, banging it out. Everybody looking forward to big nights in DFS hoops as we get ready to rock through the spring into the summertime. NFL draft be coming up towards the end of the month, of course. Latest NFL draft content also on Scout Fantasy. Mark Morales is still doing an excellent job over there talking fantasy football this week. Fantasy football, of course, one of our top articles every week. We'll make sure we get Mark on sometime soon to talk about some latest going on in the NFL as we get ready for the NFL draft coming up at the end of the month. And then we'll start to transform back into straight fantasy football mode because that's what we do best right over here on Scout Fantasy. Speaking of football, before I bring Matt on, I want to touch on a few NFL-related topics. I want to look at some injuries and a couple of other things like that. Try to get a feel of where we're going to go in 2016 for fantasy football purposes. I want to start with Robert Griffin III, as everybody knows now. It's clear. Remember, the Cleveland Browns will get more than likely get the opportunity to compete for the starting job, and I really wouldn't see no reason why Robert couldn't come in there and win it. Hugh Jackson taking over for that organization. There's not a lot of talent around him. The offensive line has been weakened through this past offseason, but it's good to see Robert Griffin get another shot Maybe him and Hugh Jackson can get that chemistry going. Nick pulls together some wins. The Cleveland Browns have had horrific luck at quarterback, of course, most recently with Johnny Manziel. But Robert Griffin gets a chance to go out there next year. They got a couple of pieces, but really not really much fantasy assets. And we'll be talking about Josh Gordon, in a couple of minutes from now. Jamaal Charles, Kansas City Chiefs running back, one of my all-time favorite fantasy backs. Love to get him on my team. One of my very dominant teams from a couple of years ago, I had Jamaal Charles as the first-round draft pick, so I've always held allegiance to Jamaal Charles. Well, now he's an aging running back coming off his second ACL tear into the season last year, also ended one of my fantasy seasons. Jamaal Charles was in line to put up that big number fantasy like he always does because his usage rate, how much he plays, and how much Andy Reid and that offense relies on him. Well, he's on track right now coming off the second ACL tear to be ready to go for the opening of the Kansas City Chiefs training camp. Now, one thing that I will draw to, not only is Charles getting older and he's coming off his second ACL tear, he's going to be an interesting player to monitor throughout training camps because he's probably going to go in that RB2 range now because of these two ACL tears and because of the elevated age. But Jamaal Charles is definitely a guy I still want to take a gamble on. Wide receivers are pushing up the boards in early fantasy football drafts. Running backs are sliding down. Charles is a player that could come at a value this upcoming season, so definitely want to monitor his health towards the offseason. He's a player I have a star next to. He's going to be a hot-button item when we start talking fantasy full-time coming up in the next few months right here on the Scout Fantasy Takeover. Jordy Nelson, just about fully recovered, ready to go. Of course, we get that from the Scout Fantasy Network, our NFL pages. But Nelson is on track, on schedule, barely walking without a limp around the locker room as recently as the close of the NFL season. So good to see Jordy Nelson. And I think, you know what, he goes right back to the top of the board. He's a first-round wide receiver. Maybe you get him on that turn if you're lucky. But I look for another big year for Jordy Nelson coming off the ACL injury. So Nelson is a player that I'm definitely going to have some exposure to. And even though he had the injury, I do think he's going to be able to go right back up to the top of draft boards. Another player I want to talk about coming off of an injury is Thomas Rawls, running back that emerged last year in Seattle for the Seahawks. Marshawn Lynch, beast mode, no longer in Seattle. He called it a career. He hung up the cleats. Shout out to Oak Town. Lynch is now retired. We saw Thomas Rawls come out and really look at one of the top fantasy backs last year when he got his opportunity. Rawls is a player that Fantasy Oaks owners are going to be focused on. Pete Carroll said recently this past week that looks like he hopes Rawls be ready to go for the start of training camp. So definitely Thomas Rawls owners in Dynasty League and people that are interested in him in redrafts, go ahead and monitor that situation. You should be able to draft him accordingly in the upcoming weeks when we get into the start of the season. So we talked Thomas Rawls. We got Jordy Nelson out the way. Talked about Jamaal Charles. Carlos Hyde looks like he'll be ready to go for OTAs. Hyde was a player I had on a couple of my teams last year, of course, disappointed. Not much talent out there in San Francisco right now. But what I will say is this. You know, listen, I think the kid is good. I just think the situation is pitiful in San Fran. Chip Kelly comes in, so he could have some fantasy value, mainly out the backfield, catching the football. This is a team that more than likely will be playing from behind as the talent on that roster needs to be rebuilt. Speaking of rosters and talents, the Cleveland Browns do not have much talent to put around Robert Griffin III, like we spoke about earlier, declining in the offensive line due to free agency. Josh Gordon should be meeting with the NFL any day now to talk about his 2016 season. Of course, Gordon, the dynamic NFL wide receiver, had one of the top fantasy years a couple seasons ago, continues to get in trouble with nonviolent offenses. Now, Gordon's in a place where he could be looking at reinstatement, but all signs show that the Cleveland Browns may not be interested in having Gordon as a part of their team this year. So that's a knock against RG3 and his fantasy value coming into the season, not to mention the fact that Gordon, all of a sudden, if he does hit the open market and is reinstated into the NFL, can go to a team where he can truly shine if he gets a chance to pick and choose a spot. Gordon ends up in the right place. He could be a fantasy asset. Another one of these high-volume, extra-athletic, wide receivers that have been taking over the NFL the past couple of years. So definitely a situation where we want to monitor and keep an eye on is what happens with Josh Gordon. And last but not least, Dez Bryant looks to be recovering well from his off-season foot surgery. A couple of buddies of mine were at the Bruce Springsteen concert in Madison Square Garden the other night, and he actually was sitting next to Tony Romo and Jason Garrett. So those guys are out there mingling at the Bruce concert in the Garden in good spirits right now. So that's ladies with Dez. So, like, he's ready to go. I've seen him go in the second round in some early drafts. So Bryant's from another play we monitor, because if you can get him at a second-round value in 2016, team him up with a first-round wise, I can guarantee you a healthy Tony Romo and a healthy Dez Bryant. You're looking at a guy that's going to score double-digit touchdowns. So that's it with the latest stuff out of the NFL. Full rundown of what we got going on over at Scout Fantasy. Now it's time to get to the good stuff, get ready for tonight's big nine-game slate in the NBA, and I bring my guy in, one of the men behind the scenes, Matt Brandon, editor over here at Scout Fantasy. Matt, what's going on, my man?
How you doing, Corey? It's good to be back.
No doubt. Good to have you back. You know, next week we got opening day, so but we still want to keep the basketball content going, because I'm quite sure you'll be banging out to the end of the NBA regular season. It's going to get tougher now to find out what's going on with these rotations in these minutes as we got teams falling in and out of the playoff hunt. You know, how do you take that into consideration? How much tougher does that make it as we get to this point in the season, trying to figure out the rotation in the minutes? Because some teams are, for the most part, getting ready to, you know, close up shop for the year.
Well, it changes a lot of things. I mean, the teams that are competing are the teams that you really want to target. Teams that are looking for certain seeds, you know, those are the teams that you want to target, because you know their rotations are going to be the same. You look at the New Orleans Pelicans, it's really hard to predict what they're going to do. I mean, they've had 5-6 injuries or something like that. So, you know, that's a team that I tend to stay away from. Another team I tend to stay away from is the Spurs, because they're always resting their players. Pop is known to do that. I think he knows he can't get the one seed. The Warriors have pretty much wrapped that up. So, you know, it's a balance of targeting guys that you think you can get value from because the rotations have changed, but also staying away from certain rotations that are just too unpredictable.
No doubt, and that's good stuff right there. And, of course, the premium board Scout Fantasy is where the NBA rundown goes down each and every night. A lot of members in there getting it done and winning some cash on the DFS sites. Now, Matt, last week we talked about us being New Yorkers, not being able to play right now, but still the content has to get out there. You got to keep the skills sharp and stuff like that. We spoke about Fantasy Aces last week. 1 week into it, how has your Aces experience been?
So I did take you up on that. I used your promo link, and, you know, I've just been fooling around with it a little bit. I haven't put a lot of money into it because I'm trying to get used to it. It's very important to know the scoring system, to know the positional outlooks, and to know how your competition is. And so overall, you know, I've been playing now for a week. I've made a couple of dollars. I haven't been putting a lot of money in, but I'm starting to understand, you know, the way to win with Fantasy Aces. I do like it. I like that there are so many utility spots, and that you can play 5 point guards, as we discussed last week. I do like that strategy. It's not always the right strategy, but on a big slate, it certainly can be. So far, I'm enjoying Fantasy Aces. You know, I loved DraftKings. That was my thing. I started off with FanDuel, but Fantasy Aces seems like a solid site. It's very different as far as the tournaments go. They're much smaller. So there are things that I'm trying to get used to, but I feel like, you know, within a little bit of time, I'll start continuing to develop those skills, and you'll see me at the top of one of those leaderboards.
No doubt. I fully expect that, and that, of course, is very important. Like you said, you just don't expect to jump into these contests in DFS and expect to just take over right away. Changing up, every site is different, has its own methods of running, its own style of going about it. So definitely take it slow get the hang of it, and then begin to build your bankroll, and then, you know, play however you want to play after that. So let's go ahead and hop into tonight's slate. FanDuel and Aces people, if you're listening out there, obviously you all, we like lineup lock at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time tonight, at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time tonight is our first tip-off. So you get an extra half hour from your regular NBA night, and that game is the Atlanta Hawks at the Toronto Raptors. Toronto's a one-point favorite in this one. The total is 201. I'll start in my lineup on Aces. The one of the first people I put in was Vasilunas. Jonas.
Yes, I like Big Jonas. I think he, you know, he could have had a really big game the other night. They just happened to be blowing out their opponents. But in that game, he had 10 points, 9 rebounds, and 5 blocks in 26 minutes. So I think that, you know, that was against New Orleans, who, as we discussed earlier, you know, they're just totally injury. They're done. But the 5 blocks is something to really look at, because he's not really a premier shot blocker, but in 5 games up until his recent game with OKC, he had a block in 5 games straight. So that's huge for him. And he's at a very reasonable price tag. And I think he could dominate Al Horford on the boards. It's not an easy matchup, but it's one that's certainly exploitable. I do like Big Jonas tonight. It's also been reported that Kyle Lowry is questionable to play tonight. And if he's unable to go, DeMar DeRozan is obviously a guy that you got to consider. His usage rate will be up. He'll be shooting the ball a ton, trying to lead the Raptors to that number one seed. But an under the radar kind of guy is Corey Joseph, who is really a good player. He's a great role player. He's much better in real life than in fantasy. But if Lowry sits tonight, he could be a nice cheap option at the point guard position just to get some studs into your lineup. He's only started twice this season. And in those 2 games, he's averaged around 10 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and he's played 26 minutes. So his upside's limited, but he should exceed value if Lowry rests tonight. So that's definitely a situation to monitor. As far as the Hawks go, I don't really love this matchup really for either team, but I think Jeff Teague could have a solid game, especially if Lowry sits. Teague started the season off not very well. It looked like Dennis Schroeder was going to take his place in the starting lineup. I mean, that's not really realistic, but Teague was really struggling. And now he's just on an absolute tear, leading the Hawks to 9 wins in their last 10 outings. And over that span, he's got 15.5 points, 7.5 assists, over 3 rebounds, just about a steal, and around 33 DraftKings points per game. So I think Teague is someone you got to consider just because of his recent form, and he's a mid-tier option. So and his upside is very, very high. So I think he's the guy you got to consider. Those are the main guys from that contest that I'd be looking at today.
Yeah, and that Jeff Teague call is very interesting. I want to talk to you. I want to mention that. When you have a player that's on the tier, like you said, a streak like this, are you willing to ride him regardless of the matchup?
Not regardless of the matchup. There are certain matchups that I just think you can't do it. But in this one, although the Raptors are solid against the opposing point guards, Jeff Teague is the type of guy. He's very crafty. He can do it in a lot of different ways. If he's not scoring, he can pass the ball, he can hit threes, he can steal. So he's the type of guy that can do a lot of different things. When it's a guy who is primarily a rebounder or primarily a scorer, then it's a lot harder to ride him in a streak in a tough matchup. But when you have a guy that's so versatile, that's when I think the matchup isn't as important.
The Phoenix Suns are at the Milwaukee Bucks. I think we'll get some more action out of this one. Nice high total at 211. 6.5 favorite Milwaukee Bucks are 6.5 point home favorite for the Bucks in this one. I guess Giannis is going to be one of the top plays on the board tonight.
Yep. You know I like this guy a lot, and this is a game that I will definitely be targeting a lot. In fact, I might stack this game with four or five guys. You know, the Greek Freak, he struggled recently, but I think his chances of bouncing back are very, very high against the Suns tonight. Phoenix allows more points per game to opposing teams than any other team in the NBA other than the Sacramento Kings, including the fourth most fantasy points per game to opposing small forwards. So that's a very good sign for Giannis. And Coach Jason Kidd has already said that using Giannis as a point forward has been a very big success, and that the High Flyer is going to start at point guard next year for Milwaukee. So that'll be very interesting. But in the meantime, look for Antetokounmpo's usage rate to continue to stay very high. He's clearly the best playmaker and all-around player on this underachieving team, and I think he's going to have a big, big DFS night. Another guy on the Bucks that I like Chris Middleton. I think he's a solid shooting guard. I don't think he's the best guy on the board, but I think he can get it done. A value guy I really like is John Henson. I never thought that Henson would be taking minutes away from Greg Monroe, but as Monroe labors, Henson is playing some of the best basketball of his life, and he's been deadly in the DFS world. In his last two games, he's averaging 18 points, 9 rebounds, and 3 blocks for 37.3 DraftKings points per game. Plus, he's converted a ridiculous 15 of 21 field goal attempts over that span. So if Henson continues to play around 25 minutes a night, he should absolutely deliver value for DFS owners at his very low price tag.
That sounds like a good call right there. What do you think about Parker?
Go ahead.
Parker, what do you think about Parker?
I don't really love him because I think that John Henson is taking minutes away, not just from Monroe, but also from Parker. Parker was on a tear earlier. His price tag went up because of that. And I just think there are too many other power forwards on the board that that are going to give you much more bang for your buck.
Okay.
As far as the Suns go, there's really two guys to consider, and that's Brandon Knight and Devin Booker. And Booker is the guy that I'm looking at. The rookie's busted out of nowhere to average 22.7 points and 5 assists in the month of March. And over his last 5 outings, he's producing over 37 DraftKings points per game. So against the Bucks team that allows the 7th most fantasy points per game to opposing shooting guards, you got to consider him tonight. His price tag is a little bit steep, but I think he's going to get it done tonight.
That's an interesting option because, like you said, you know, they have to be able to fight back. I mean, they are NBA team somewhat. They have to be able to fight back. They have to be able to score. So, and then Booker is a name that I see trending a lot in DFS and NBA circles. So definitely a guy that, you know, I've yet to play him yet. I think tonight is the night that I'm going to try to figure out a way to get him into a couple of my lineups. You know, nothing much going on for me tonight. You know, just taking a couple shots and winning some tickets over on Fantasy Aces. So that's about all I got going on. The Denver Nuggets are at the Memphis Grizzlies. Looks like we're going to go with Stevens. What's up?
I was just going to say, this game is a stinker.
Yeah, no, this sucks. I'm looking at this. It's 203. This is and I don't. Is there anything that we can get here? Do we got any Matt Barnes love in this one? What's going on?
You know, I thought Matt Barnes was going to be a decent play, but now it looks like Zach Randolph is going to play. So if Randolph goes, Matt Barnes is still, you know, considerable, but I don't think I would roll with him. You know, you might want to take a risk on Jordan Farmer in the GPP. He's really cheap. I don't even think he's on FanDuel, but he is on DraftKings and on Aces. And with Mike Conley out, he's proven he's better than Ray McCallum. But, you know, I don't really love anyone on the Grizzlies side of the ball. As far as the Nuggets, there is one guy that I think could have a good game, and his name is Kenneth Faried. after missing six games. He came back on Monday against Dallas. You know, had a pretty solid game, 9 points, 11 rebounds, two blocks, around 25 DraftKings points, and that was in just 22 minutes. And with Nurkic out tonight, Fried getting healthier, he should see more minutes tonight against a very banged-up Grizzly squad. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes for around 30 DraftKings points. So I think Fried is a decent mid-tier option, and he's probably the only guy I'd consider in this matchup.
That's interesting. It's always good to roster players coming back off of injuries at times like this before the rest of the field gets on. He's probably have a nice low ownership rate tonight for Reed Will.
Absolutely.
That's how you win these things, you know what I'm saying? Especially when you're trying to take down something different. The Golden State Warriors are in Utah to take on the Jazz. Warriors only a 5-point favorite in this one. Of course, the Golden State Warriors are involved, so it's one of our higher point totals of the night. Well, this only one that's coming in at 202. Warriors, boy, I tell you what, on a back-to-back in Golden State, a back-to-back in Utah, Utah team has been played them well in the past. Yeah, this is an interesting game right here, just to look at as far as if you're a Warrior fan on this 73 win chase, if you're a Utah Jazz fan, you got a chance to drop a loss on them in your home. I think this one right here makes for good TV right here, and I think it makes for a good DFS content. Obviously, particulars with the Warriors, Steph and Draymond. How much exposure would you have to Steph tonight?
You know, I like Steph, but I'm not going to have that much exposure to him because I like a lot of other point guards on the slate that we haven't gotten to yet.
Mm-hmm.
I will have a ton of exposure to Draymond Green. I think he's going to have a huge game. And I do think that this is the game that will decide whether the Warriors will break the record or not. They're barely a favorite in this one. The Jazz have a very good starting front court between Gordon Hayward, Derek Favors, and Rudy Gobert. So if a team can, prevent Golden State from scoring a ton of points, it is the Jazz. The Jazz slow the game down, which is why the point total is not as high as we typically see with the Warriors. But Draymond Green, I think, is going to have a huge game. He had been slumping. His price tag dropped dramatically, almost like $2,000 on DraftKings last month. And he's a bit of a bargain now that he's beginning to get into true form. Tonight, the Warriors travel to Utah. You know, the Jazz are solid. Game is not going to be a blowout. All they need from Green if they want to break Chicago's record. And despite Utah's defensive prowess, Green has averaged 34 DraftKings points per game over his three previous meetings with Derek Favors and Gobert. So, actually, that's 43, not 34. So Draymond, and he's produced at least 53 in four of his last five games, including last night's remarkable performance against the Wizards, where he was just one assist shy of his 13th triple-double of the season. Him and Westbrook are just ridiculous with all these triple-doubles.
This is crazy. No, this is unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. And Green, to do it at his position, the power forward position, it's almost unheard of. In fact, it is unheard of. So I think Green is a great play tonight. He's a good cash game play. He's a good GPP play. And at his diminished price, his upside, and his track record against the Jazz, I'm going to have a ton of exposure to him.
No doubt. I agree with you on that one. I know Draymond's one of the first players I put into my early lineups today. I think he gets it done. And like you said, he's been playing well as of late. This is the game I think it kind of fits him. On the Utah side of the basketball, can we get our BFF into the lineups tonight?
You know, I don't think that I'm gonna go with Gordon Hayward. He is our DFS BFF, but as tempted as I am, Harrison Barnes is a solid defender. Draymond Green may even guard him a little bit, depending on the lineups that each team rolls out with. Klay Thompson, he can defend the ball as well. So I don't think I'm going to go with Hayward. If I had to pick one guy on the Jazz, it would be Rudy Gobert, because the Warriors are not very good at defending opposing centers. Festus Ezeli is still out. Andrew Bogut, you never know what you're going to get with him. And Gobert, he's got very high upside, but he can also absolutely bust. So he's not the type of guy I'd put in a cash game lineup, but if I had a gun to my head and I had to pick a Jazz player in a GPP, I think I'd go with Gobert.
All right, put your life in the hands of Rudy Gobert.
that's a risky thing to do, but that's why it's a GPP.
No doubt, I agree with you 100% on that one. Oh, here goes a nice one right here, nice, interesting one. Should get a lot of fantasy action out of this one. Los Angeles Clippers in Minnesota to take on the T-Wolves. 5.5-point favorites are the Los Angeles Clippers. Nice high total in 212. What do you think? Let's throw in the Clipper side of the basketball, because, you know, I know Chris Paul is one of the guys we like, but I saw in Nate's rundown, which is up on Scout Fantasy right now, that he had Chris Paul as his fade.
Yeah, and I disagree with that. I think CP3 is one of the premier point guards, which is why I don't think Steph Curry will be in a lot of my lineups. You know, Ricky Rubio is a great player, but he is not a defender. CP3 is going to have no problem getting by Rubio. And CP3 is doing it without Griffin. Griffin's going to return very, very soon. His return's on the horizon after his 4-game suspension. And CP3's produced at least 35 DraftKings points in 9 of his last 10 games. And in his last one, he dropped 14 points, dished out 13 assists, and finished with 45. So tonight he gets a cupcake of a matchup against Rubio and the T-Wolves, who allow the third most fantasy points per game to opposing point guards. And so I don't really understand why Paul was his fade today. Nate will have his reasons. Nate definitely knows what he's doing. He makes a ton of cash on DraftKings. But I got to say, I do like CP3 tonight. So he's one of the point guards I'll definitely be considering. As far as a cheap option on the Clippers, I think Wesley Johnson is an interesting option, along with Jeff Green, but I think Wesley Johnson, because Paul Pierce has been ruled out, and Johnson may have to log a few more minutes than he's used to. And although Minnesota is a very strong offensive team, they're dreadful on the defensive side of the ball. That's why their record is so poor. So Johnson has scored double figures in 2 consecutive outings, and if he gets enough playing time, he could be a solid pump play at the small forward position.
Interesting call right there. That's the name I just jotted down, Wes Johnson. Got to get you some salary cap relief in tonight's 9-game slate in the NBA. When you look over the Minnesota Timberwolves side of the ball, anything interesting?
I mean, it's your typical guys. I like Ricky Rubio. I don't love him as much as the last time we spoke. I think Andrew Wiggins could be a solid play today, a mid to top tier player. And then Karl Anthony Towns, of course. He continues to do it. He's got a tough matchup, but he's still absolutely amazing. I mean, he's averaging 22.3 points and 10.4 rebounds in the month of March. And tonight, he goes for his 10th straight double-double. Now, yeah, he goes against DeAndre Jordan, but I wouldn't bet against the rookie. And the last time these two teams met, Towns finished with 17 points and 12 rebounds. So I think Towns is definitely a guy you got to look at. He's a great rebounder, a strong inside scorer with a solid jump shot, and a scary defensive. The big man, you got to consider him tonight.
Agree with you 100% on that one. Karl Anthony Towns is a play that I'm going to have in a lot of my lineups tonight over on Fantasy Aces. I do think he gets it done. And like I said, I just love rolling the kid out there and just watching the stats ring up and up and up. Right now, talking to my guy, Matt Brandon, editor over here at Scout Fantasy, getting you ready for tonight's big 9-game NBA slate. We're already 5 games into the slate. I want to take a couple minutes right now to remind you, Masters coming up next week, DFS, PGA stuff, cheat sheet over by my man Sean Childs on the site right now. Get involved with the Masters, Millionaire Maker next week. Sean gave it a run. Also, Major League Baseball opening day is coming up on Monday. Major League Baseball DFS is coming up. You got a draft this weekend. You got an auction this weekend. Hop on there right now and get our MLB draft kit. And, of course, throughout the course of the regular season, you get all the great work from Dr. Voto. And NFL draft coverage going on right now. You got the NFL draft headquarters. Of course, our guy Mark Morales-Smith with This Week in Fantasy Football. All kind of stuff going down right now. But now we are talking NBA. And right now, the guy who gets it done on our premium forums, Matt Brandon, got our positional rankings, DraftKings and FanDuel for tonight's DFS contest going down. Projections been spot on so far this year. Let's head back to the slate now that we paid some bills. Yesterday it was Cleveland with Kyrie Irving. Today it's Los Angeles with D'Angelo Russell and all this off-the-court foolishness going on. The Los Angeles Lakers are a complete mess. The guy code is being broken. You got people telling on each other, people taping each other, teammates not wanting to be involved to get along with D'Angelo Russell, more or less have this kid sitting over in the corner by himself. They are a 10-point home dog tonight to the Miami Heat. 207 is the total, Miami Heat at Los Angeles Lakers. I want to start with Josh Richardson because as I'm getting my research done, getting ready for the pod today, name I kept seeing come up across some of the sites, people's write-ups and stuff like that, and the guy that could be a nice value for tonight as well should be, it's Josh Richardson. Are you in line with that pick?
I absolutely am, and I think the amount of exposure I will get will depend on whether Goran Dragic suits up or not. You know, he missed the last game with an illness, and Richardson started and played tremendously, and even when Dragic does play, Richardson plays great. So Richardson is certainly a value play that I'll have a lot of exposure to, but it will depend on whether Dragic suits up or not. But, I'm definitely going to have him in at least one or two lineups. He's a great player. He's hitting 3 threes per game over his last 3 contests, averaging around 16 points, couple assists, 3 rebounds, and just about 30 DraftKings points per game. So, he's on a roll right now. And against the Lakers defense, allowing the third most fantasy points per game to opposing shooting guards, you got to consider the guy. Because if the Heat run away with this game, they're gonna throw their young guys out there, and Richardson could get even more minutes. So he's definitely a guy you got to look at tonight. You're spot on with that.
Anything else on that side? Anything else you see in Miami for tonight?
Dwayne Wade is a guy that I kind of like. He's a guy I'm going back and forth between again. You really got to monitor what's going on with Goran Dragic, because if Dragic is out, I think Wade is somebody that I definitely would have to consider. As far as at the center position, I love Hassan Whiteside. I think him and Karl Anthony Towns have the most upside at the center position. DeMarcus Cousins, we don't know his status yet either, but he's obviously another guy. But Whiteside is a guy that he kills it no matter how many minutes he plays. And although the Heat may blow the Lakers out of the Staples Center, Whiteside doesn't even need that many minutes to exceed value because he's so efficient. Los Angeles gives up the third most fantasy points per game and fourth most rebounds to opposing centers. So Whiteside should absolutely dominate the Lakers' front court. And in their one previous meeting this season, Whiteside went for 19-15 in just 27 minutes. So I'd expect pretty similar production tonight, though he could have a bigger night if the Lakers are able to keep it close. Going over to the Lakers, you mentioned the drama going over there. Kobe's questionable tonight, so that adds a little mystery there. You know, this whole D'Angelo Russell thing, I'm staying away from the Lakers. I'm not rostering any of them. I just have no interest in them. It seems every time I do roster them, they let me down. Julius Randle's the one guy that has occasionally come through for me, but I do think this is going to be a blowout, and I don't think the Lakers have anyone that is going to exceed value.
No, I think the Lakers are shot right now. This thing is looking bad. And if I'm Kobe Bryant, I wouldn't want to be seen with these characters, so I would sit out this one too. New Orleans Pelicans
are at the San Antonio Spurs. 196 is the projected game total. The Spurs are a 20-point home favorite against the current version of the Pelicans. I really don't think there's anything you can do with this one. Or can you tell me something different?
I can tell you something different. You're right about one. Fade the entire San Antonio Spurs starting lineup. I don't want anything to do with it. This game is going to be an absolute blowout. If you want to be really risky, you can roll out Patty Mills or David West or one of the Spurs backups, the big center that they got, Boban. Pelican side of the ball, I like Tim Frazier. He's very, very cheap. And the Pelicans, you know, they just can't catch a break, can they, Corey? With Tyreke Evans, Anthony Davis, Ryan Anderson, Norris Cole, and now the latest injury, Jrue Holiday, he's out
that's
for the year,
that's
too.
That's an injury.
So
that sounds like one of my fantasy football teams from this past year. when you were rolling
yeah,
those names
so,
up, that's
so
how I was talking about my fantasy football team in 2015.
So you know how they feel, you know? And what did you have to do when you had all those injuries? You had to start someone, right? And
yeah,
so
you
the Pelicans,
say they're not going to cancel the game.
Yeah, they're not going to cancel the game. So the Pelicans have to roll with what they have. And Tim Frazier is the guy that they have. He may not start, but he's going to play a ton of minutes tonight. And he's been playing very, very well recently. They don't have a choice but to give him the minutes, not to say he doesn't deserve it, but since he started seeing significant playing time 7 games ago, he's averaging 12.7 points, 4.6 assists, and 4.1 rebounds for a total of 25.7 DraftKings points per game. So at his price tag, he is a tremendous value option. He is the main guy that I would target, probably the only guy. The only other guy I'd consider is Luke Babbitt, who is a three-point specialist, and I wouldn't really look at him on FanDuel or Aces where you don't get the extra half point for a three-pointer. But on DraftKings, Babbitt could be a nice punt play at the small forward position.
Our New York Knicks are swinging through Texas tonight. They're up against the Dallas Mavericks. Dallas is 5.5-point favorite. Knicks have been playing marginally, slightly better over the past couple of nights. The number is 200 on this one. I kind of always feel comfortable playing Dirk against the Knicks. It's just one of those things where it just always works out for me.
Yeah, you know, Dirk is always a good play, and especially with, Chandler Parsons and now Deron Williams out, Dirk is the go-to option. Who knows how many years he has left, whether this is his last year, but he's a great power forward. He's helped change the game, and, you know, he's putting up huge numbers recently. He had one game where he dropped 40 points last week, so he's a guy that you definitely got to consider. He's at the higher end of the spectrum as far as the Dallas Mavericks go. But if you want to look at their backcourt, because D-Will is out, I think J.J. Barea is a guy that you gotta look at because he continues to step up in Williams' absence. He didn't start in the Mavericks' road win over the Nuggets, but he was an integral part of the offense. He dropped 18 points, dished out 11 dimes, and finished with 42.3 DraftKings points in just 26 minutes. So against a horrendous New York Knicks backcourt that ranks in the bottom third of the league at defending point guards, Barea should keep doing his thing tonight. I think Jose Calderon is going to have a little bit of trouble with the Northeastern native. I went to Northeastern, so I do like Barea. There's a little bit of bias there. But we also have a revenge game alert. We got Raymond Felton, you know, playing his old team. He used to play pretty well with the Knicks.
Raymond Felton before he caught that gun charge and got a little bit lazy, he had an excellent season in New York.
Yeah, and then, you know, he gained some weight. Some people were making fun of him. He's dropped that weight. He's playing hard. He's like a pit bull these days, and he's playing like he was when he was, you know, averaging like 17-9 with the Knicks. So Felton will probably get the start tonight as he did the other night, and Felton's played over 30 minutes in three games in a row, and in those three games, he's gotten at least 26 fantasy points. So he may be highly owned, but I think he's worth the cheap investment tonight. So I think there's a lot of Mavericks that you want to consider. This is one of the marquee matchups of the night, not because of point total, but because it should be a close game, and there are some very solid options. I think Melo is a guy that you got to consider, one of the most consistent small forwards in the game, as the Knicks are just playing for pride at this point in this lost season. He dropped at least 22 points in four consecutive games. He's averaging 25.6 rebounds and four assists over that span. And without Chandler Parsons, the Mavericks have no one to mark him. You know, who are they going to put on one of the most elite scorers in the NBA? Although Melo's upside isn't quite as high as some of the other studs on the board, his consistency is what makes him such a great cash game play. So, and with Porzingis out, I didn't mention that. Porzingis was just rolled out about an hour ago. That's a big, you know, Melo will see more minutes and a higher usage rate. And Derek Williams be a nice value play for the Knicks.
Ah, Derek Williams. Yeah, you know what? He's one of those guys, too. Whenever I roster him, he doesn't really come through for me. But I do agree, if it's any time for him to come through tonight, tonight would be the night.
Hey, you got to like his hair at least, right?
You know, the hair is kind of crazy. It's cool, though, on our guy, D. Will. Hey, you a college basketball fan?
I certainly watch March Madness. I don't watch much of the regular season, but I would say I'm a fan, yeah.
Okay, cool. And just for any particular rooting, I mean, you're a Tar Heel guy, Duke guy, you know, what's your rooting? Are you just strictly Northeastern?
Northeastern is the team that I like, you know, but I like UConn a lot, too. I've always loved UConn, you know, lived near UConn, so – you know, I've seen them win a lot of championships. So if I had to pick a team that was competitive, UConn would definitely be that team.
Let me ask you this. I'm just going through the wire right now. I see where, before we get to our last game of the evening, got a couple minutes left, I see where Goran Dragic is going to play today. How does that change your approach?
So if Dragic is playing, I probably will not consider Dwayne Wade as an option. I think that the Heat will probably rest Dwayne Wade because Dragic is playing, and the Heat will get out to such a big lead that Wade will be rested. So I don't. So that's the biggest change, and Josh Richardson's ownership will certainly go down, but I still would like to roll with him in at least a couple lineups. I think Josh Richardson has tremendous upside. He's come out of nowhere, and he's just a really solid all-around player. He does it on both ends of the floor. So although Dragic is playing and it does hurt Richardson, I think that the Heat are going to run away with this game, especially with Dragic, and Richardson might see more minutes alone on the court later in the game.
Because of the blowout factor. Last game of this big slate, and it's going to be a goodie. The 218 is the point total. The Washington Wizards are in Sacramento out west to take on the Sacramento Kings. Speaking of March Madness, you got a pair of University of Kentucky Wildcats. Still got to monitor the situation on DeMarcus Cousins, obviously, Boogie. But his homie comes in town. John Wall comes in town. Let me tell you something, intangibles. You know, I'm really big into that. You got these two college homies, road dogs, going to get each other in the NBA. I think DeMarcus Cousins and John Wall could both show off tonight.
I agree. You know, it's so hard to put a lineup together when you don't know if DeMarcus Cousins is playing because
that was my next question.
He's one of the best players in the league, you know, I put a lineup together, but it's obviously subject to change because in the lineup that I happened to put together, I assumed that Cousins was not playing, but we don't, you know, that it's 50-50 at this point. So I do agree that with your assessment on John Wall. He is my number one point guard tonight. I did say that last week, and he slightly disappointed, but I'm hoping that he turns it around this time. You know, he struggled last night against Golden. He only scored 8 points, but he was able to dish out 11 assists and still able to tally just about 40 DraftKings points. And if you can do that on an off night against the Warriors, who play a fast-paced game but don't play as fast as Sacramento, then imagine what Wall can do to the Kings. The Kings cough up the most points to opposing teams in the NBA, and that's going to mean more possessions, more touches, and more shots for Washington's floor general. Not to mention, Wall went off on the Kings in their last meeting, finishing with over 50 DraftKings points. So we're talking about tonight's top point guard on the slate and quite possibly the top overall player at any position.
No, I can see that. The stars are in line for John Wall tonight. So definitely agree with you 100% on that one. When you look at the rest of the Wiz, though, say you want to stack this game. Who are stackable players in this game?
I think Otto Porter is a decent mid-tier option. He's been playing well recently. I'm waiting to see what the update is on Bradley Beal. He played very well last night, but he was supposed to be on a minutes restriction, and it was like they just threw that out of the way. So we'll see if he plays. If he doesn't play, Garrett Temple could be a nice cheap option. As far as the Wizards go, I also think Gortat could be a decent play. You know, he is very underappreciated in the DFS world, and in the NBA. He's one of the most consistent centers. He's very, very tough. He doesn't have the athletic ability that a lot of other centers do, but he does it with his heart and his strength and his toughness. And I think that's very key in a game against potentially DeMarcus Cousins. So those are the guys I like on the Wizards. You know, obviously I like Cousins tonight. And whether or not Cousins plays, I think Willie Cauley-Stein is a guy that is someone that you got to consider. You know, he's obviously a better play if Cousins sits out. Career high 26 points against the Suns on Friday. And that was with Cousins in the lineup. So that just goes to show that he can do it regardless of whether Cousins is playing or not. He, as long as he's getting the minutes, he can do it. And the Kings are grooming him. They're giving him more opportunities. He's logging plenty of minutes, and he's produced at least 31 fantasy points in 3 consecutive outings. So with the Kings totally out of the playoff race, it seems like the coaching staff is committed to developing the rookie down the stretch of the season. And the Wizards are not the best defensive team, so expect Cauley-Stein to produce in a pretty big way tonight. And if Cousins doesn't suit up, I think Willie Cauley-Stein is a must play. Last week it was Kufis, this week it's Cauley-Stein. You know, it's like crazy how things change so quickly. But this guy's playing tremendously, so those are the Kings that I'd roll with.
No doubt. Agree with you 100% on that. As always, my man, Matt Brandon, MB. Good stuff as usual, my man. Now, let me ask you this. Same question from last week. Cover art for when we put the article up there on Scouting Fantasy, and everybody go out there and check it out. Draymond Green, Carmelo Anthony,
feel like I'm forgetting somebody. Oh, well, we obviously we say Giannis, but we don't want to go with somebody everybody else is going with.
Right.
Maybe our guy Richardson. What do you think? Tim Frazier? I don't know.
You know, we could go with one of the Mavericks, like Dirk or J.J. Barea or Felton. You know, I think everybody's used to seeing Draymond or John Wall or Hassan Whiteside. So I like when we go with one of the less known players. Teague is another guy that we could consider.
Jeff Teague.
I'll look through all the guys that we discussed, and I'll surprise you with a good one.
I'm sure you'll make the right decision, my man. Thanks a lot, Matt. You know, we'll get together. We'll do it again. Next week this time we'll be into the baseball season. We'll also be coming up on the Masters. So got a lot of stuff coming up for you next week on Scout Fantasy. Present the Takeover for Matt Brandon. I'm the Fantasy Executive Corey Parson. Thank you, and we'll hear from you next week.